At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This happened between April and July of this year. So, I'm a visually impaired woman and I live in my own apartment in Texas. When I was in elementary school, there was a new girl who moved to Texas from Georgia, if I remember correctly. Let's call her V. We eventually became best friends through middle school and freshman year of high school. When she told me she was moving back to Georgia, I was crushed. She was the only friend I had at the time, and she didn't judge me for who I was. I ended up moving to the other side of Texas due to going into foster care, and didn't exit until I was 18 and a half, moving back in with my mom. My mom had 2 strokes during my time in foster care, and had her 3rd one when I was living with her, so she's now in a nursing home and I've moved a few times due to entering housing. Well, eventually, I got the apartment that I have now in January of this year, and it's been a real struggle, but I'm doing all right. I somehow reconnected with V on Facebook. Then we moved to talking through Discord and text messages back in March of last year when I lived with a roommate in an apartment in the housing program I'm in. Him and I are best friends to this day. He knows everything that happened between V and I. V confessed last year that she'd had a crush on me back in middle school, and at the time, I didn't fully realize that I wasn't straight. In March of this year, her and I got together, and we were doing okay, but she was living with her ex-boyfriend and his parents at the time. She eventually got kicked out, and her ex's parents bought her a plane ticket and then flew her down here. Then I paid for an Uber for her to get to my place. When I met her in the parking lot to help her with her suitcases, I was elated to see her, and we hugged for a bit before I helped her get her things inside. Of course, the first 2 weeks or so went well before she started to show her true colors. I broke it off with her, but I said that we could still be friends and that she could still stay. She started exhibiting manipulative behaviors, often trying to guilt me if I got onto her about her toxic behaviors and disrespect of myself and my apartment. In June, my brother, who we'll call Jay, had texted me asking if he could move in with me because he was homeless, and another homeless man had started beating on him. He was pretty sheepish about asking me, and I told him that like hell I'm going to let him be abused by some asshole on the streets. I got him an Uber down to my place that day, and thus even more problems arose. Now, I should mention that V is a very interesting individual. She'll claim to have a crush on anyone and everyone, and admitted to me that she had a crush on my brother. I told her no, she can't be doing that, as she was in a polyamorous relationship with, get this, 6 people. Now, I don't shame polyamorous people, but her and her poly group were constantly bickering loudly on the phone and insulting each other. She had a knack for being extremely loud on the phone and having it set to max volume, often robbing me of sleep. I'd constantly talk to her about being loud on the phone, especially at night when I was trying to sleep, and she'd just try and guilt me, saying things like, "Oh, I guess I'll just sleep on the floor in the living room then," or, "I guess I'll just sleep outside," and this one's my favorite, "Okay, I guess I'll just go ahead and pack my bags." I let her know that guilting me is going to get her nowhere with me, and Jay and I talked a lot about how to handle her. Eventually, we agreed that I was going to pull her into my room with Jay and have a talk with her. Now, due to me being in foster care for so long, I was the recipient of a lot of behavior talks, so I knew exactly what to do. Now, I thought I would end up giving an attitude and being rude, but I managed to stay calm, which wasn't really that hard at all. I told her that if she kept being too loud on the phone when Jay and I were trying to sleep, trying to guilt trip him and I, and keep refusing to help with the chores that she said she'd do, she was out. Jay and I gave her a 3-strikes you're out system, and she got 2 strikes in less than a week. Before I could even talk to her, she got one of her poly partners to give her money, then hauled ass out of my apartment on the 9th of July after promising to celebrate my 21st birthday with Jay and I. She did tell me she was leaving a couple of days before, and I was really sad to see her go. I'm the kind of person that'll fight tooth and nail to help people, even at my own expense. I know that sometimes I can't, and that just breaks my heart though. I was sad to see her go, but also relieved that I wouldn't have to deal with her toxic behaviors anymore. The real world isn't kind, and I tried everything to help her out. Now I have to let her experience all of the real struggles for herself. Well, Jay also ended up moving on the same day as V did, though a couple of hours later as he'd gotten accepted into a foster home and his caseworker picked him up. He still visits on occasion, and I'm really glad that he's doing much better now. V ended up moving in with one of her poly partners in Arkansas, who inevitably kicked her out in 2 weeks, sending her right back to Georgia with her parents. She'd always claimed that her mom was controlling, and she would compare me to her when I'd give her advice or try to keep her out of harm's way. She doesn't like it when I point out the red flags in any of the partners she has, as she falls head over heels in love in an instant, and then gets blinded by that even when her partner is obviously being toxic and manipulative towards her. She'd claim that I don't want to see her happy, and that I'd quickly force myself to give up and let her get hurt like she always did, even with my warnings. She'd admit I was right every time, then fall back into the same routine. Now, here's the kicker. S, the roommate from last year when I was in housing, actually lives in the same complex as I do. He met V a couple of times, and he came over to my place to check it out and see if V damaged anything. Surprise, surprise. My kitchen was an absolute mess. Both sinks were clogged. The stove and oven are now unusable and covered in old food. She caused a gnat infestation, which I'm still dealing with, and she destroyed and broke the things that S had left to save space in his apartment. She also left old dirty food and dishes all over the living room where roaches and gnats now live. My current boyfriend T is helping me deal with all of the mess, and I'm eternally grateful for him. When S told me the true extent of the damages, I was absolutely livid, and S had to calm me down. We calculated the cost for all of the damages and repairs, as well as replacements for S's destroyed items, and V now owes us $550. She's being extremely difficult about it and keeps blowing me off, and S said she has until March of next year to pay off what's due to replace his stuff, and I'm giving her the same deadline. If she doesn't pay us back, I think I have something that'll convince her to do so. I'm not going to go into all that here, as that's an entirely different horror story which I might share at some point, but just know that she should be in prison for life. A message for anyone out there taking people into their homes, old friend or not. Just be careful who you let into your space, and don't tolerate any bullshit that they do or say. Give them an ultimatum or just flat out kick them out. They're not worth the havoc that they may leave behind. My name is Jules, and this story happened in 2022. At the time, I was a business school student, but my English skills left much to be desired. To improve, I decided to take a gap year and move to Toronto, Canada for intensive language courses. Since the costs were high, I had found a shared apartment with other students. It had 3 bedrooms and one was still empty, waiting for another student to move in. My roommate Sandra was a Swiss German, tall, almost 2 meters and 120 kilos, but also very friendly. We quickly became friends. A few weeks later, Sandra told me he was going on a week-long road trip through Canada's national parks. He was set to leave on a Saturday morning, while I had been informed that the new student would arrive that same day at around 3 p.m. Sandra left the apartment at 10 a.m., leaving me alone to wait for the new arrival. Hours went by, 3 p.m., 4 p.m., 8 p.m., and then 10 p.m. Still no one. I grabbed a bite to eat, watched a show on Netflix, and eventually decided to just go to bed. Around midnight, I was suddenly awakened by knocks on the apartment door. I heard someone coming in. Oh, that must be the new student, I thought to myself, before hearing an unfamiliar voice explaining the apartment's layout. I stayed in my room, too tired to go out, and just fell back to sleep. But a few minutes later, there were knocks on my door. Once, then a second time 10 minutes later. Thinking there might be a problem, I eventually got up. I found myself face to face with a young Japanese woman around 25 years old. I quickly explained a few details about the apartment, we exchanged Instagram handles, and then each of us went back to our rooms for the night. In the following days, she had often asked me to accompany her when taking the bus or subway. I gladly helped, showing her the stop signs and the good spots for getting around, and then returned to my own routine between classes and gym sessions. But gradually, something strange started to happen. Every evening when I came back, she would always be talking to me, either by message or when we bumped into each other in the apartment. The situation became increasingly heavy. Then one evening, while lying on my bed, I had noticed a figure on the shared balcony, right in front of my bedroom window. She was leaning against the railing, staring at me. Her gaze was piercing, unsettling. When she realized I had seen her, she quickly turned away and went back into her room. I shivered at this, but tried to convince myself that it was just a coincidence. Later around midnight, as I had turned off the lights to fall asleep, I glanced out the window. She was still there, standing, watching me. Our eyes met again, and then she vanished instantly. The scene repeated itself the following nights. Every evening, I would catch her watching me from the balcony, always at the same time, and always with that fixed gaze. And every time, she disappeared as soon as she realized I had noticed her. But the night before my departure, the situation took an even more disturbing turn. One morning, I had to get up particularly early for an appointment. It was 5:30 a.m. when I left my room. The entire apartment was shrouded in darkness, except for the faint light filtering from under the bathroom door where I was brushing my teeth. Very suddenly, I heard a noise behind me. The young woman emerged from her room, silent, her footsteps softly echoing on the wooden floor. She knew I was there. She saw the light under the door. I froze, a chill running down my spine. There I was in my underwear, toothbrush in hand, wondering what the hell she wanted. But instead of turning back, she opened the bathroom door and came in, sitting on the closed toilet facing me. She didn't say a word. She just sat there motionless, her gaze locked onto mine with a blank, almost empty expression. The scene dragged on for long, icy seconds, where the silence grew oppressive. Then slowly, I gathered myself and left the room, closing the door behind me. I returned to my room very slowly, trying to show that I didn't understand what was going on, but her English was too poor for us to have a proper conversation. In the days that followed, I became increasingly cautious, watching her every move, but she continued to observe me every evening from the balcony, like a disturbing shadow in the night, until on the night before my departure, things took an even more terrifying turn. I was having dinner in my room when I saw her again through the window, staring intensely inside. I looked away, hoping she would leave. Then, later that night, around 3 a.m., I woke up suddenly from a nightmare. I turned my head, and there she was, still on the balcony, her eyes wide open, fixed on me. My blood ran cold. This time, she didn't look away. She remained motionless, like a statue. Then abruptly, she turned and started running inside the apartment. My heart pounded. I rushed to lock my door and buried myself under the covers, hoping it was all just a bad dream. Well, a few seconds later, I had heard footsteps behind my door, then an attempt to open it, gently at first, then more forcefully. She was pressing on the handle, trying to get into my room. Panicked, I remained still, holding my breath. And then, everything just went silent again. I heard nothing more. She must have gone back to her room, but the night felt endless. I returned to France the next day. She was no longer in the apartment. I think she was just fascinated to see a European, After all, I don't have a typical build, especially not for a Japanese person. I can bench over 150 kilos, which is 330 pounds. Anyway, I also thought that she might have been looking for an adventure with me or trying to steal my passport. Take care, everyone. I had been having problems with my dorm roommate since the beginning of the semester. She didn't shower or wash her clothes regularly, left dry top ramen noodles all over the floor for me to step on, didn't wash her hands or flush the toilet, sighed in a way that sounded like sex noises constantly. She showered with the door open and got water everywhere, and so many more things that I hated. Basically, every single pet peeve I had was born in this girl. At first, I blamed it on her not understanding American etiquette. She was a foreign student from China. But then things started to get creepy. When I went home for the weekend a few weeks into the semester, I gave her a heads up that I would be gone. She did that weird sex sigh thing again and looked sad and betrayed at the same time, like I was doing something wrong by leaving her. She said something along the lines of, "Why are you leaving me? I don't like sleeping in the room by myself. I feel more comfortable when you're here with me." Mind you, I only met this chick on move-in day and only said a few words to her. I should have known to keep my guard up after that. Every once in a while, she would stare off into space longingly for like half an hour. Sometimes I would catch her watching me study out of the corner of my eye. After a long day of studying in the library, I went into the patio in our dorm to get some ice from the machine. And I found her with her head on the table with her eyes wide open staring at something in the distance. I think she scared off the guy I like because he stopped coming around to see me once he found out she was my roommate. After she creeped me out so much, I had started staying away from my dorm, only going there to sleep and to grab things I needed. She seemed like a nice person, but I just couldn't live with her anymore. Today I emailed my RD that I wanted a room change. I told her that I wasn't comfortable living with my dorm anymore with this girl. I was sitting in my room while my roommate was out today, when I heard banging on the door. I was then greeted by two solemn-looking police officers and the RD of my building. They calmly asked me where my roommate was, but I had no idea. I told them her usual lurking spots, and then just went back to what I was doing. I knew that something was off. I asked them what was up, but they just ignored my question and asked where she might have been. The police officers at my campus are usually really pleasant looking too, since there isn't much crime in my campus and they don't have much to do. 30 minutes later and I hear banging on my door again. I'm greeted by my roommate who has tears streaming down her face. She rushes past me to her bed and then plops down. She starts wailing, screaming, and eventually hyperventilating. I thought that maybe someone close to her had died and feeling sorry that I'd asked for a room change during her time of need. I could only make out a few bits and pieces of what she was saying to the RD. "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I promise I won't do it again." The police officer pulled me aside and then quietly asked if there was anything in the room she could hurt herself with. I gestured to her wooden drawer where I know that I'd seen a small knife with a wooden sheath on occasion. He went through the drawer but didn't find anything. Suddenly, she was right behind him screaming, "Don't you dare go through my things! We don't want you to harm yourself. Please calm down. You think I'm gonna hurt my roommate? I wouldn't do that. She's just silly. I'm not gonna hurt anyone. I just want to be left alone." By then, the RD dragged me out of the room and then told me what was going on. She got into a big fight with her best friend. I didn't even think she had any. Well, she had started sending threatening emails and even threatened to kill herself. By this time, I was in complete shock. I just saw someone completely lose it right in front of me. She told me that she had received my room change request and was going to meet with me tomorrow. I told her I would stay with a friend for the night. After my roommate calmed down a bit, I went into the room when the two RDs were talking to her to quickly pack a night bag. She apologized for acting so crazy, and I half-heartedly accepted, grabbed my stuff, and then got the hell out of there. I was waiting for my dorm common area for my friend to get back to her dorm when I realized that I had forgot a blanket. I went inside thinking that someone was going to be in the room keeping an eye on her, but she was alone. She just glared at me as I walked past her to grab my blanket. There was pure hatred in her eyes. "Where are you going?" I have never heard her use this tone of voice with anyone before. She was livid. "I'm gonna stay with a friend for the night," I said. "Why? Because of me?" I swear that I saw smoke rising from the top of her head and a vein in her forehead was about to burst. "Sleepover!" In the happiest tone I could muster. "We have a midterm on Friday." Not completely true, though. I'm just glad that I'm quick on my feet. I got out of there and nearly ran to my friend's dorm. I talked to the RD, but there's no more rooms open in my housing complex. And if I want to move to another complex, my parents would have to pay an extra $1,000. They're furious and they want me to move immediately because the police officer was incompetent. He jeopardized my safety by asking me that question right in front of her. They don't want to pay for me to change rooms because it was my university's fault for putting me in this awkward situation. I'm just really afraid that she's going to take this out on me. I don't think I can return to my dorm. She looked like she was out for blood when I came back. I completely moved out of the room yesterday into my new dorm, and my roommates here are really awesome so far. My roommate has been going to counseling. As for having to pay the money for the new dorm, I haven't heard anything from my parents yet. I don't think they want me to worry about it. My father was on the phone for an hour with DPS, the RD, and the housing director about this issue, and that man knows exactly how to get what he wants. I know from past events that he's not afraid to take legal action. I returned back to the dorm when she wasn't there to start putting my things into boxes. I got an email from RD assigning me to another room, but I had to give my new roommates 24 hours before I could move in. The roommate came in, and again when I was almost done packing, and gave me a really dirty look, and then just sat down against a wall. She started to interrogate me. My room is shaped like one of those sideways Z blocks, so I was emptying my closet out of her line of sight while she was sitting on the floor on the adjacent wall. I was trying to not keep my back to her side of the room. I heard her mumbling, and I thought she was talking to her family on her computer via Skype since she had it in her lap. Then she started to speak louder in an angry tone. Keep in mind that this conversation was very fast-paced, happening within a few minutes while I was trying to figure out what I needed most for another night away from the suffocating room. "Did housing ask you to leave?" she asked. "I just think that we both need our space now," I replied. "Why are you being so cold now to me? You weren't like this before. Do you not like me anymore?" "It's because of what happened last night, isn't it?" she said. In my head, I'm just thinking, of course it was because of what happened last night. But I just told her, "I just don't deal well with stressful situations, and my course load doesn't help. Can you please tell me what I did to be a bad roommate so I don't make the same mistakes again with the next girl? What happened last night scared you off, didn't it?" she asked. Of course, I'm not going to tell her all that bothered me because she was already using an angry tone with me, and I didn't want to set her off. "I don't think it really matters anymore," I told her. "It's because of last night, right?" she asked. "I need you to answer the question right now because I feel like everyone's leaving me, and I need to know why." At first, I was a little sympathetic to what she said, but she said it so forcefully that the thought just completely disappeared. "Look, I went through some really hard times last semester too, so I understand that you need your space to sort things out. This campus is so small that we barely get to be alone to think about things. I'm trying to give you that time." "What did you go through last semester?" she said in a patronizing tone. "I had some major family issues that took me out of school," I told her. "What kind of major family issues?" she asked. She was now mocking me at this point. "Ones that I don't care to discuss with you or anyone else. Now if you'll excuse me," I told her before grabbing as much of my stuff as I could carry and got out of there as fast as I could. One of my roommates said that she saw my roommate sobbing uncontrollably in the school cafeteria during dinner. I came back the next day with some friends to help me move out of there. I explained to them the situation and told them to not be in the room by themselves just in case. All I had left to move were a few heavy boxes. When we were almost done, my roommate came in, but she was in a better mood this time. I hope the counseling center was able to help her overcome this. I'm so glad I'm out of a potentially dangerous situation where I ended up with a roommate that could have killed me without batting an eye. Prior to moving in, she had a strange attitude right off the bat. She asked me to switch rooms randomly, but never showed up, so I got fed up of waiting and then moved into my room. We shared a two-bed, two-bath. When she eventually showed up, she tried to badger me for my room, arguing that she has a disability, that my room was bigger, and complained about every single thing in the apartment. Some more tidbits. She's 39 years old, divorced, unemployed, not in school, and in student housing. She also demanded that I wear no shoes and bring no pork into the apartment because she's Muslim. When I agreed, she looked astonished. She probably thought it would be a problem for me and have a point of conflict that would make me desire to move. What followed in the coming days was the most unusual behavior I have ever witnessed. She threatened that if I had guests that she would call the police, and bragged about how often she would at her previous residence. She would also go on long discriminatory rants about international students, refugees, those protected by DACA, and including full-blown racist remarks. She claimed that she was evicted from her previous residence wrongfully, and that staff stole all of her belongings. She started cyber-stalking the accused staff, screenshotting photos of their families, homes, and even their cars. She was also stalking a student who had an injunction against her, and frequently asked me if I knew him and how she could find him. She would wash shoes and pillows at 1 a.m., and whenever I had a guest over, she would chain message me threatening to have them leave until we left. I documented all of her behavior from the beginning, and had been back and forth with management about the issue. One night I moved a washcloth that she had on the oven handle to the side while the oven was in use because I thought it would be a fire hazard. Well, she came banging on my door at 11 p.m. complaining that I had touched her property. She also said that she was cleaning my mess. I asked what mess, because I didn't make a mess because the pizza went directly from a tray into the oven straight from the fridge. She then yelled, "Your mess!" at me. It was bizarre. And I just went back into my room. One time she said that we should use separate garbage bins given that we had two. So I just said sure. As soon as I lined mine, she started using it. Every night at exactly 10 p.m., she would disappear for an hour and then come back and be super awake and very talkative. It was when she would go on hour-long rants. One night she came knocking to chat and I pretended to be asleep just to avoid it. One day she asked me if I knew who Jim Jones was. I had no idea who he was, and I said no. She then replied that he had the right idea. A few days later, I Googled who Jim Jones was and was mortified. For those who don't know who Jim Jones is, I encourage you to look him up yourself. But he was basically a cult leader and mass murderer. A very horrible person. I checked all of the new groceries that I bought, and I found out that she'd opened all of the condiments and beverages, threw it all out. A few days ago, I went to do laundry in the common area. She had two pans flung on the washer, so I folded them and put them on the dryer. She came in at the same time and made a big stink, saying, "Don't touch my stuff, girl." She then started screaming at me that I had touched her property, no matter how much I explained that I just needed to use the washer. She then claimed that she was using the washer but had to go buy soap to use it. So I asked her why can't I just do a cycle while she's gone, and she screamed even louder at me. She then threatened to call 911 and actually did it. So the police arrived and she spun some story that I hit her. The police cross-questioned her and she confessed that I didn't actually hit her but rather she didn't like my tone. She started going off on the police, telling them to just do their job and get rid of people like me, and one of them actually told her to shut up, and she just kept answering them back. The list goes on. She revealed so much about herself through her weird nightly rants. Apparently, she was evicted 3 times, even from her own house because it was foreclosed after her divorce, and 2 other student housing places as well. She's being sued by the student housing company for her most recent eviction. But since then, she filed bankruptcy. I don't really know how that works. She tried to appeal it, but the judge denied it. The police raided her apartment and confiscated every weapon she had for threatening staff at her previous residence. I'm so glad that I was lucky enough to get switched to a whole new unit because the place is packed since the school just resumed. She's a dangerous person, and I have no idea why management didn't evict her given the surplus of evidence of her unusual behavior, such as the threats, police reports, and evictions. It just makes no sense to me at all. She's a lunatic. I became homeless at 16, and through some help, I found a place for people between 16 to 25 years old, which gave me a house to stay in until I could find myself a permanent place. I was put in a rough area close to the center where I could get help and so on. This is the first of many stories of my roommates. The first one was my first ever roommate. The house was shared except for the bedrooms, which had fireproof doors with locks on. My room was the larger bedroom, and the smaller room was where my roommate lived. The first day ever moving in, our rush house worker comes around and introduces me to Holly. Holly was a large girl who was about 22 to 24 at the time, and she played the sweetheart kind of role. She said that she would look after me to the worker. I smiled and did it all back, but I already had the feeling that she wasn't someone that I wanted to look after me at all. She just had a creepy feel like she was over the top sweet to hide something. After the little intro, we didn't really speak a lot. When I was downstairs, she stayed upstairs, and when I went to my room, she went downstairs. It didn't really bother me since Friday to Sunday she was out getting wasted, so I had the house all to myself. Anyway, one day I sat downstairs watching a bit of TV to make myself feel a bit better about the situation I was in, and I had heard her stomping downstairs. She opens the door and tries to make some small talk. You know, where are you from? Why did you leave? Blah, blah, blah. After about 10 minutes of her talking about ex-boyfriends and intimate crap that I didn't really care for, she comes out with, "Are you a virgin?" I stared at her for like 5 seconds and then reply, "That's a really messed up question to ask a 16-year-old. She laughs it off. "We're both girls. What does it matter?" I get up and reply, "Yeah, I'm not really into girly chats. Do you mind?" She stands out of the way so I can nope it back to my room, thinking thank Lord it's Friday. Fast forward to about 1 a.m. where I was sat in bed reading a magazine when the front door bangs, followed by, "Crap, come to the living room," she said. At this point, I'm just thinking, for God's sakes, there goes my Saturday morning of chilling in the house, when suddenly they're talking hushed and fast. I stay quiet on the bed listening, when a man's voice replies to the whisper, "I'm not paying $300. If you don't know if it's $150, it's a no." His foreign accent sounds pissed to say the least, but Holly becomes equally irritated too. I ask, but she didn't say yes or no, which means that she probably just turned 16. A second man chimes in with the same accent, but a more serious tone. "So she is 16. I hear Holly stand up. "Yes, now give me $300 or screw off. No skin off my nose. There's others out there." As soon as he said 16, I knew he was talking about me. My heart hit the floor and I sat frozen on my bed praying, and I locked my bedroom door. I heard her heavy footsteps slowly come up the stairs. Every step up, I felt a cold chill. "Hey, are you okay?" she slurred. She did make a pretty good impression of being wrecked, but still, I stayed silent, hoping she thought I'd gone out. "Hello?" she said. The handle wobbled, but I felt like a freaking idiot. My door wasn't locked, and it came open. I don't think I've ever thrown myself out of bed so fast in my life. I slammed that door hard enough that she fell back into the wall. I thanked Rush for making my side of the door have a twist lock and laid myself flat against the door. She played it off all cool. "Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. I was just checking on you." Now my teen angst got the better of me, so I said as confident as I could to go away and take whoever's with you to go away too. By this point, she realized that I knew crap was going down, and she started banging her fist on my door, screaming and shouting for me to open up. She started almost begging when the two guys came charging up the stairs. The second man took on the most soothing tone he could. "Hey, you're so-and-so, right? We just want to talk about something, that's all. Holly's really upset, and we need your help." "Screw off, or I'll call the police," is all I could muster back.
"Oh yeah, with what phone?"
Holly laughed, scoffing, and the guys let out a quick laugh too. One of them leaned against the door on the other side, and without wavering stated, "If you open the door, it'll be much better than if you don't, and we have to kick it down." I didn't have a witty comeback or even the strength to say no. I was 16, and if they got in, I didn't stand a chance. Both of the guys set off in what I guess was in their native tongue. A minute passed of this until I was caught off guard by blow after blow on my door. I backed away, and my door made a sound which says that it can't take two guys kicking it. I scanned around the room frantically. My brain starts a mantra of, "Crap, crap, what the hell do I do?" As I then dash to the other side of the room looking for my window keys. I grab them from my jeans, fumble with my window, and scream like I've never screamed before. They stop banging and they realize that I wasn't worth jail time, I guess. And me screaming like that is going to have everyone opening their front doors too nosy at what's happening. I hear the stampede down the stairs and the back door swing open and then slam shut. I stop screaming and slid down the wall into a little ball. I have no idea how long I was set there thinking about the what ifs, and I didn't stop what ifing until the sun came up. I ran downstairs, chained and bolted the back door in front, and then I hid away for a week. Holly and the two men never came back. She didn't leave anything behind except clothes. And I didn't tell Rush House what happened until they came around on a house check and they saw the state of my door. By then, it had been a month. And now I'm older, I wonder what the hell they've been doing since. Long story short, the only reason my new roommate wanted to know so much about me and be friendly was so she could sell me for sex. So yeah, thank God that never happened. When I was accepted into a college that was far from my hometown, I didn't really know anyone else who lived there. The college I went to didn't have dorms, but they did have apartments that they suggested students to live in due to the proximity to the college. And I'm pretty sure they also got a kickback for people who signed up and said that they heard about the apartment complex through the college. I was pretty broke at that point. Plus, I wanted to meet some new people right away. So I chose my apartment largely due to a roommate matching service they had. Basically, you fill out a questionnaire about your demographics and hobbies and interests, and the service would match you with roommates that were compatible with you. Mind you, I chose this particular apartment despite the one-star reviews I saw across the board online. I mean, they were under new management, and it was only a year lease. It couldn't be that bad. I was matched with another guy in a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment. I was excited to move in and meet him. I moved in a few days after the lease started. Probably about 3 weeks before school started, and already began regretting my decision. The apartment sucked, and it smelled like mold and old cigarettes. In fact, there was a used ashtray on the coffee table when I first got there. When they said it was furnished, I didn't expect it to be exactly like home. My roommate didn't show up for about a week. When he did finally show up, I found out he was about 35 and didn't even go to my school. He was pretty scruffy and he smelled like old cigarettes and BO. Eventually, I found out that he used to be homeless and took out student loans to afford the application fee and the first few months of rent, but he never enrolled in any classes. After the first few months, he stopped paying rent, and it took about 6 months for the property to finally evict him. In the state I lived in, you had to evict judicially, and the courts were bogged down, so it took a little while. While he lived in my apartment, he never changed his clothes. He always wore the same beat-up looking camo pants and stained dirty wife beater. I even offered him some clothes that I was getting rid of that would have fit him fine. He was content though, so whatever. He would also have a lot of his old roommates from where he lived at homeless shelters over. It wouldn't be uncommon for me to come home to a random person doing laundry, even when my roommate wasn't home. When I would have a guy over to hang out in my room, he would watch us walk from the front door to my room through a crack in his door, just wide enough for me to see the creepiest look on his face. And he would do this literally every time. Needless to say, he gave me the creeps. A few months after school started, and after I was noticing his creepy behavior more and more, I was in my room asleep with a guy that I was talking to at the time, when I had heard a knock on my bedroom door. I look at the clock, and it's about 3 in the morning. I get up to go see whoever it was and what they wanted, and I open my door to a random dirty and an old naked guy. He says that he's a friend of my roommate, and thought that my roommate was in the room with me. Now, I flip the hell out at this. Obviously, my roommate isn't in the room with me. In order to get into my apartment, my roommate would have had to let him in, and the apartment isn't very big, so it wasn't like my roommate could have gone somewhere else that his friend wouldn't have known where he was. He was either in the living room or in his room. I throw this dude out, him being butt-ass naked, and I let myself into my roommate's room. This is the first time I've been in there, mainly because I have no reason to associate with him, and he's sitting in the corner doing absolutely nothing with his lights off, almost if he's waiting for me to come in there. I ask him about everything that just happened, and he tried to play it dumb like he didn't even know that guy. Someone had to have let him in, and it wasn't me. I drop it begrudgingly because the eviction notices are piling up on his door. I just figure it's just a matter of time until he's gone. In the meantime, I see the naked dude randomly in the apartment doing laundry a handful of times whenever I'd get home from class. Finally, my roommate is evicted, and I think I'm done with that, and maybe I'll get another roommate that's actually my own age or cool. A few weeks go by that are more or less quiet. Then one day I hear a knock at the front door during the day. When I answer it, I see the random naked dude standing there with a trash bag full of what looked like disgusting laundry. He tells me that my old roommate said it was cool if he came to use the washer, and starts to walk forward like he owns the place. I step in front of him and I tell him that his friend doesn't live here anymore, and no, he can't use my washing machine. I close the door and lock it and go back to my room. About 20 minutes later, I kept hearing a random noise from my balcony. I lived on the 3rd floor, so I figured it was just a squirrel or a bird out there making a scratching sound. I keep hearing the noise, so I decided to investigate, and I see the homeless guy trying his best to climb up to my balcony. I told him I was calling the cops, but obviously by the time they'd get here, he's gone. That same day, I went to the property manager and I asked what kind of roommate matching service works like that, and demanded to get out of my lease. After some heated discussion, I then persuaded her that it was probably in her best interest to just let me leave. I eventually found a nice one-bedroom apartment, and I never looked back. To clarify, I'm a female, and I was 20 years old when this occurred. When I was a junior in college, I transferred from the local community college to a university a few hours away. Due to a communication issue with the admissions office, I had a very short amount of time to find living accommodations. I didn't know anyone in the area, so I looked at Craigslist ads renting out rooms and found a place near my school. I met up with the guy renting out the room, and the house was large, beautiful, and in a very nice neighborhood. Peter, the man who owned the home, was in his early 30s, worked mostly from home in his bedroom office, and was polite. Peter also rented to another university student that was out of town until the semester began. The 3rd roommate was very quiet and nice. For my first week, I was completely alone in the house because Peter had a business trip, and the 3rd roommate wasn't back from his parents' place yet. The house was a little eerie because it was so large and mostly unfurnished, aside from a lone couch in the living room, a television, and our own personal bedroom furniture. There were 2 entire bedrooms that were completely empty, and a locked empty upstairs that you could only access from an outdoor staircase directly outside of my bedroom. The house had several additions, so the layout was odd. My bedroom was very spacious and had visible wiring through the room in the closet, which had a broken door that was propped to the side. Peter told me that the previous owners used it as an office, and that the internet wires once ran through my room up into the upstairs. I checked the wires because it gave me a bad feeling, but didn't find anything suspicious, mostly because I had no idea what to look for. Once Peter returned, I had noticed odd things about him. He would say strange things to me that were oddly sexual, but English wasn't his native language, so I didn't know if we just had a language barrier and maybe I was just misinterpreting him. Peter liked to take pictures of me without my consent and then post them on Facebook, usually tagging me. At first, the pictures were very mild, such as me just sitting on the couch with a friend or me typing on my laptop at the new kitchen table. He would turn the flash off so that I never knew he was taking these pictures until later when I actually saw them on the internet. The pictures became more invasive with time. One was of me in a towel when I was walking from my bathroom to my bedroom, and another was of me tanning in my backyard at the time when I didn't know he was home. I found Peter strange and uncomfortable, but the room was a steal, and I really liked the location. Our third roommate shared a thermostat with me that controlled my bedroom, his bedroom, and the hallway that led to the living room. The thermostat was located in my bedroom near my closet, so I always left the door unlocked for him to change it if needed. One day, Peter was out of town and the third roommate was changing the thermostat, and he noticed something strange behind one of the wires coiled in the closet. He called me over to inspect it, and it looked like a tiny, shiny black ball. I was really afraid it was a camera, and I put a piece of duct tape over the ball. I considered saying something to Peter, but I didn't want to accuse him of something that I really knew nothing about. He also wasn't home yet, so me and the third roommate decided we would ask him about it together when he was home. Peter returned to town 2 nights later on a red-eye flight. I always slept with my door closed, but I left it unlocked just in case my third roommate needed in. I woke up the night that Peter returned disoriented, and I noticed that the door was open with a small rectangle of light spilling in, and someone was moving inside my room. I stayed very still and tried to make out the figure, which was staying near my closet directly across from my bed. My eyes were having difficulty adjusting to the darkness, but I could clearly see a person slowly moving throughout my bedroom. The figure left and I turned the light on and inspected my closet to see that the piece of tape was now missing and not anywhere on the floor like it had fallen. I opened my door and saw Peter walking down the hallway back to his own bedroom. I quietly followed him, and when he walked into his room, I followed him in and then demanded to know what the hell he was doing in my bedroom in the middle of the night. When I confronted Peter, he jumped, obviously surprised I was in his room. Right behind him on the desktop he was always hunched over doing his work was a grainy video image of my bedroom, faltering in the dim lamp light that I had just turned on. I could clearly see my bed in the frame. Although Peter was a creepy man, he wasn't confrontational, and he immediately began apologizing and trying to explain that it wasn't what it looked like. I don't have the best closing for this experience. I contacted the police and immediately moved in with someone that I met at school. I don't want to disclose anything about the investigation because charges were pressed, but this was several years ago, so I finally wanted to get this experience off my chest and out of my mind. I'm not really sure how much footage Peter had of me, and if it still exists somewhere on the internet or in an evidence box at the police station. I'm not even sure when the camera was installed and if he ever had anything worthwhile of taping other than a few nude shots that he shared with other people through the internet. I don't really know how much and what exactly it was. The police just told me that I didn't want more details. So very little was disclosed to me about exactly what he had, and honestly, I hope I never know. The third roommate moved out the same time I did, and when I drove past the house a few months back, there was a foreclosure sign in the yard. I just still can't believe that he did this to me. What an absolute disgusting person. So the story didn't actually happen to me. It happened to my very good friend. We'll call him Dan. Dan is a 5'10" male from Maryland. He has a very strange sense of humor, and he's very smart, but an all-around good guy. Anyway, we go to the same university. I'm going to tell this story as best as I can remember it, so please bear with me. Dan moved into his dorm room before his roommate did our freshman year. Dan had everything all moved in and settled, and just as he sat down, his roommate showed up to move everything in. His roommate, we'll call Brian, introduced himself and his mother and father, who were helping him move, much like any other person would. Dan decided to help his new roommate move everything in since he didn't know anyone yet, and he was from a different state. So Dan and Brian's family got down to their car as Brian stayed behind in the room to put things away. This is the first red flag in this story. As they open the trunk, Brian's father looks at Dan directly in the face and then says, "Good luck." Dan, just thinking that he meant with glasses, just says thanks and then grabbed a box. But boy, was he wrong. Dan carried the box upstairs and into the room, where Brian then proceeded to flip out. He screamed about how that box had a special ingredients for a project that he was doing, and that Dan probably broke it. Weird, but everyone has their quirks. They finished moving Brian in, and his parents said goodbye. And again, Brian's dad told Dan good luck, which is just really weird. But anyway, a couple of guys came by the door to ask if they wanted to go eat, and Dan said sure, but Brian stayed behind to finish unpacking his stuff. While Dan was eating, he got a call from Brian asking if he would mind if he smoked weed in the room. Dan, being that he wants to work for the CDC, said absolutely not. Brian screamed something unintelligible and then hung up the phone. He called him back a few minutes later and he asked if he could smoke weed in the closet. Again, Dan said no. Brian hung up without a word, and Dan and his friends decided to go make sure that he wasn't actually smoking weed in the room. Well, when they got there, they found him in the closet eating the weed. Weird as hell, right? Not even close to as bad as this will get. At night, Brian would wake Dan up by standing beside his bed and then ask him one question. Dan would answer, and then Brian would walk back to his bed and just go to sleep. This happened every night for a week. At this point, Brian had moved in an entire toolbox full of wrenches, screwdrivers, hammers, nails, screws, and an assortment of power tools. Things that weren't needed in a dorm room. During this entire week, Brian never left the room. The only time he left was to eat and to go to the bathroom. About 4 days before the week where the dorm room changes could be made, Brian woke Dan up in the middle of the night and asked him how he felt about gay people. Dan said he didn't really care what anyone did, and it was fine with him. Dan woke up the next morning with Brian sitting in a chair directly by his head, staring at him. Dan then instinctively yelled at him,
"Dude, what the hell are you doing?"
To which Brian replied, "I'm starting to have feelings for you. You need to move out. I don't want you getting hurt during what is coming." After that, Dan left and didn't sleep in his room for a couple of days until he could move. Unfortunately, there were no open rooms, so he couldn't move. During this time, Brian started to follow Dan around. Brian would sleep in the closet with his tools making something. Well, Dan eventually convinced the head of the dorm to let him move into the now empty room next door after 3 weeks and what he describes as hell. Dan moves to the room next door. No big deal, right? Wrong. 2 days later, Dan gets a knock on the door at 9 a.m. Thinking it was the guys on his floor that he had become friends with messing with him, he screams, "What the hell do you want?" And he answers the door in his boxers. At the door was 4 state police troopers in full hazmat gear. The trooper in front then said, "Not who you were expecting, huh?" So at least someone had a sense of humor. They let Dan put on some clothes and then let him out the door. At the end of the hallway was Brian in handcuffs. Turns out, Brian had been building pipe bombs and other bombs in the dorm room while Dan was in class. After Dan had moved out, he had took over the other bed and closet for his bomb-making activities. The reason the hazmat team was there was because Brian had spilled liquid mercury all over the floor, and they were afraid it had gotten into the other rooms. When they went through all of Brian's things, they had found a plan that also had guns hidden around the city. This kid had actually planned a massive attack. But he had written Dan's name around with a heart around it, and then wrote, "Do not kill," to that crazy-ass roommate, "I don't ever want to meet you."